Lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
Ashes, Ash Wednesday. Ashes are what, children? Why, ashes are what's left over after something has been burned up. Dust, remember, to dust thou shalt return, and dust is nothing but the last remnants when the depredations of time have done their work. Ashes stand, therefore, for what is transitory, for all of the passing things of this life, whether it be beauty or riches, a sense of financial or emotional security, a good name, a fine reputation, excellent health, all of these things must pass. Things spiritual, too, they must pass. That's a lesson of the ashes. Where do they come from? Remember the procession last Palm Sunday, children? We went outside with a donkey around the grounds of the church, and each one of you had a green palm which had been freshly blessed with many prayers in church. And we sang to the victory of Christ, who is going to die for us and open up the gates of heaven, and the peace of Paschaltide. But how soon these spiritual goods are, as it were, clutched out of our hands by our own human weakness, original sin, and the devil's clever machinations and plannings. Even things spiritual pass away. Even the greatest of the virtues do not last. I don't refer to human frailty, but to the divine plan. That is to say, there remain, St. Paul told us on Sunday, didn't he? Faith, hope, charity, these three. But in heaven, after this world is reduced to ash on that terrible day of fire, in heaven there is no faith. And in heaven there is no hope. There is no faith because now the eye has seen what eye has never seen on earth. You don't believe anymore. You see it. You know it to be true. It is before your very eyes. Nor is there hope because in heaven everything we hoped for on earth is now come to fruition. It is realized. It's ours. It's in our hands. It's gone then. You won't find it in heaven, hope nor faith. But charity abideth still. Queen of the virtues, to whom we have humbly, hopefully dedicated our Lent this year, charity remaineth, and it is the greatest of the three. Thank God it doesn't go anywhere. It accompanies us, we pray, right up to heaven for all eternity. Ashes have a rich symbolism. It would be difficult, I suppose, for a preacher to exhaust their meaning, but I don't want to fatigue you today. Let me just tell you that ashes, they stand for charity. Charity, yes. You know, in the old days, how they used to make soap, children? This is even before my time, so it's been a while. In the old days, they made soap out of ashes. I'm not quite sure how, but they did the pioneers. You'd learn about that in history class. They made soap out of ashes. And that's how they got rid of stains and dirt. And that's how they washed up, with soap made out of ashes. And ashes, too, the farmers in the old days used to lay in the fields as a fertilizer, rather than going to waste. Why, then the ashes contributed to a bountiful harvest. And still today, where they grow cane at this time of the year, Lent, they burn the fields. The cane has to be burnt. I used to go to, sometimes I do still at this season, go to Mexico. And it's always a remarkable thing. Everybody is going about his business, but there are ashes falling from heaven everywhere. They fall on the people that are on vacation, and they fall on the poor peons and laborers, because all of the cane fields have been set alight. They're on fire. They burn, and then the ashes settle everywhere. I want to speak a word to you today about how ashes tend to settle everywhere. It's a lesson that we can draw from the altar. I call it the altar ash. It is the sacristan's devil, truly. That is, this is what happens. The servers go to light the candles before Mass, and they light the candles with the candle lighter, of course, and the candle lighter functions with a wick, and the wick has some material on the inside that's covered over with wax. It's probably some form of cotton or flax. Now, sometimes, it's nobody's fault, it just happens, sometimes some ash forms and wants to drop right down where? On the pure white altar linen, which has been long time laundered lovingly by some lady and then carefully, ever so carefully ironed, and is in a state of immaculate perfection when it's first laid on the altar. So our servers, we ask them to, and they usually remember, go out of their way to be careful not to let the ash fall on the linen. And so you'll see them sometimes, and they sort of swing the candle lighter around in a wide arc so that the candle lighter is never directly over the altar mensa, it's called, over the white linen itself. And if some ash falls, it will fall on the shelf or the grating or on the floor and won't do any damage. That's how we should be, you know. We should avoid the occasions of sin and be careful, if necessary, to make a wide arc to avoid being ourselves occasion of sin to our neighbor, whether it be the matter of charity or I could think of purity, modesty, the way we're dressed, or what we have to say or do. Avoid the occasions of sin. But still, if the ash falls, and sometimes it does through nobody's fault. It just happens. That's not the difficulty. The difficulty comes with the way we react to it. If you touch it, all is lost. You mustn't. You could blow it away like that. You could brush it away with a brush or a little piece of cloth or tissue. That works just fine. But if you touch it, it mixes with the oil of your skin or your perspiration, and it bonds with the linen and makes a big black mark right there on the lovely white of the altar linen. And some poor lady has herself a big mess to deal with. And all of this despite our very best efforts, such as our ever so careful servers always make. This is what we do to each other every day. You set forth, you're a pure white altar linen. You've all been laundered and starched and pressed, and you're gleaming. And it's a fine day, don't you know? And God's in his heaven. And all of a sudden, somebody cuts you off on the expressway or answers you harshly at the store, makes you wait a second, nanosecond too long, or mocks you a little bit and you caught that, or someone raises his voice with you, or the spouse gives you the look and you know what that look is, or perhaps you're treated to a cool silence, and maybe to all of this you might answer with anger. Ah, you see, it's the little ashes of life, not the great volcanic ash that buries a Pompeii. It's just the little tiny ones that we have to deal with each day. It is these that get us into trouble. And all of a sudden, there's a black smudge on my face, and it's not a sacramental either. It's a frown. It's anger. And I want to retaliate, and I want to strike back, or else I want to retire to my corner and sulk. This is my natural response. It's instinctive, and part of the deal, too, of course, is to brush off that other person. And all of this only makes it worse. By touching these things, in a sense, averting to them, reacting to them, these little rejections of life, you might call them, I make them real, whereas truly they are transitory. They're passing. The little troubles of each day, they could smudge my soul easily enough or another and lead to anger or revenge. God knows with some good folk it can even lead to depression, a real hurt, a feeling of loneliness. And all of that, think you, from one little ash. I should remember the next time someone else's ash comes floating my way that only God loves me the way I want to be loved, and that will only finally be realized in heaven when I don't need to be tried or tempted to have my cane field burned down anymore or make that wide arc with my candlelight. When all of those things are over and past, why, that will be heaven. And in the meantime, even though these things don't last, let me be careful to store up my treasure in heaven by these little deaths to self, these little acts of patience. Just blow it away. Blow it off. But don't brush it. Don't touch it. That's the part. You see, a little breath will do the trick. And breath, of course, in sacred scripture stands for what? Stands for the Holy Ghost, who is the very love of God. So this Lent, with all of your good beginnings, here we are in church with our ashes, and all of your promises of penance and of prayer, you are storing up for yourself treasures in heaven. Make no doubt, but be careful now. Don't blow it. When somebody else's ash falls in your direction, pause a moment, blow it away gently. It's just passing. Everything is, except for God and the charity and his love for us, which passes all human understanding. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.